Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations and inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people, just like you, to create oneness. And through support and universal guidance, educate people just like you about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself and to love you all. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. As always, I invite all of your questions, comments, and suggestions to infinitelovradio@yahoo.com or Michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and giving me this opportunity to serve you. My heart is open with gratitude and appreciation for your presence. Thank you. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer, like always, followed by our very fascinating guest. Our guest is Dr. Ramona Rubio, who is the co-author of The Alchemical Woman, a handbook for everyday soul work. Dr. Rubio is an author, motivational speaker, and life coach in the field of alchemical transformation. She's also a retreat facilitator. A little background about Dr. Rubio before we move into our interview. In her own words, pay attention please, in her own words, for the majority of my adult life, I have worked on living my mantra. Persistence is the catalyst that makes our dreams a reality. And she says that I am proud to say that despite huge roadblocks, I was the first person in my hometown to earn a doctoral degree. Like many minority women, my personal story is filled with incredible odds for living an abundant life. She says, my mother died at my birth. I was raised in a poor and segregated community and physically abused as a young girl. Then she decided I had the choice to transform these demoralizing experiences into positive opportunities by creating the story I wanted to live and not one written by others. Wow. Do you get the power in those statements? I certainly do. For more information about Dr. Rubio, please visit her website, www.thealchemicalwoman.com. We shall hear all about her fascinating new book a little later on in the show. But for now, I invite you to gather your presence, yourself, your allness, into the here and the now with me, my guest, and allness, and everything as beauty, as blessings, as the grace of God, the universe, the spirit of all goodness, the highest, highest source of all good, from the highest, highest source of all power, whatever name you have for this magnificent presence, is yours to claim as your truth in the present moment. As we unite on the airwaves, wherever you are, I am, our guest is. Where I'm coming from, we are all one. And I invite you to attune your consciousness with me into this unified presence of the allness. In this moment, I know that you're very busy. We're all very busy doing in order to have all day long. But here, I invite you to be. I invite you to simply be. And with this invitation, I invite several deep cleansing breaths in. Here we go. Let's take the first one. Take a deep cleansing breath in. And exhale with an ah. Come on, ah. Yes, release the tension. Release the stuckness. Release the blockages. Release the barriers. Release the headaches and the backaches and the stiffness and the pain. You deserve much, much more. Here we go. Another deep cleansing breath in. Again, exhaling with an ah. Loosening up your head, your shoulders, your neck, your chest, your back, your hips, your legs, your arms, your hands, your fingers, your fingertips, head to toe, allowing yourself to relax into the moment. Here we go as you breathe in the breath of life. Deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah, intending, wanting to be released and freed in this moment energetically. As you become present, you are being here. You are being here. As you're present with everything all around you, as you're being present with the senses, the sounds, the sights, your feelings, your knowings, right where you are present. I am present. Our guest is present. And we are here together to have a magnificent time of awareness, of fun, of enlightenment, of awakening, of healing, of being together on this show. Yes, being. With gratitude and appreciation to God the Divine, the source of all good, all blessings, we're grateful to have and be whatever it is that we're being and having and doing together. We're open and receptive to the love within our heart, allowing it to flow through our hearts, through our souls, onto others, illuminating the world, raising the vibration, the frequency to love, unity, and oneness for all. With this I say, thank you, I love you, I appreciate you, and so it is, amen. Ah, thank you. Taking this opportunity to re-invite our guest again, Dr. Ramona Rubio, who is the co-author of The Alchemical Woman, a handbook for everyday soul work. Again, her website is www.thealchemicalwoman.com. Without further ado, welcoming Dr. Rubio. Welcome, Dr. Rubio.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. And I must say that I feel so lifted from your beautiful prayer for all of us. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure to let go and let God.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting my invitation. Dr. Rubio, I love your mantra, persistence is the catalyst that makes our dreams a reality. This is my mantra. I never said it this way. Persevere and never, ever give up. This is what I say to myself and to all. I love it. I love it. How did you come up? What inspired you to come up with this mantra for yourself?
Well, just like anything else that comes from the divine, it was just something that I was struggling with in my life, and I realized that what set me apart from the people that didn't accomplish what I accomplished was persistence. And not only that, but the belief that there was a higher power that was guiding me in the direction that I was asking to go, and open and receptive to what that was. But without taking the action, without being persistent, I knew that I would fall short of the mark.
So what did you do every time you came across a roadblock, a barrier, you felt stuck, blocked, whatever name you have, in your magnificent journey, as in your own words, everything that you've gone through?
I think the key, which is probably the most difficult thing to do for many of us, and it's two things. One is to have faith that what is happening is absolutely what is necessary for my life journey. And two, to believe that it will come about through the grace of the divine.
So faith and belief?
I would say yes, because I think if you can believe in something, but if you're not really 100% faithful to that belief, then I think we're just playing around it. We're not really committed to, like they say, letting go and letting God. Bring that to us that we need and not what we want.
Right. And so is your belief and your faith saying that trust the outcome will always be for my highest, greatest good?
Yes, because sometimes what I always focus on is that sometimes I really want something that may not be the best for me. And when I end up with bumps of, figuratively speaking, bumps on my forehead from hitting the wall, then I know I'm trying to force something that isn't for my greater good. And so it gives me a pause to say, wait a minute, what really is important in my life, and how important is what I want instead of what I really need, and be available for the divine, the universe, to give me that.
Right. I'm not pushing it, right? Being not, patient.
Yes, don't push against the stream.
Oh, my God. Listen, Dr. Rubio, what a test, huh? I don't know, test, whatever you want to call it. Patient, my child, God is saying. Patience.
That's right. Patience is an art form that many of us in this fast-paced world really don't practice that often. And I think that's when we get, you know, the old bump in the head or slap in the face from something that says, pay attention and be patient. It's not in your time, it's in divine time.
Right, right. I'm actually being tested by my patients because I'm driving more than usual these days in Los Angeles, and the traffic is like continuously. I have to stop and say, Michelle, patience, take a deep breath. Everything is going to be okay, everything. So it's like in every aspect of our lives, we got to learn to be patient, patient. Except what is, right?
Yes, it is. And I think, again, that's so hard for us because we're so bombarded on a daily basis by the quick fix. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen. And not only will it happen, but it will almost happen instantly. And sometimes it's so important to savor life. Even if it doesn't feel good, it still is part of our life experience. So it's not always about the good stuff. Sometimes it's about being patient through the challenges as well.
Okay. So coming from you, with all due respect, your background that you say in your own words, the way your mom dying when you were at your birth, and being raised in a poor and segregated community, and being abused, physically abused as a young girl, patience, faith, and belief was a big part of your life, right?
It had to be, because I think if I would have fallen into the victim mode, at which many people choose to do, and that's all right if that's what they're choosing as their life journey, somewhere, and I can't tell you why, I just knew that I had in my heart that there was a better life for me and that I didn't have to be stuck in a place of being a victim in that dark, what we call an alchemy, in that negretto, that there was that lightness of being that was calling me to say, you have the potential with your intelligence, with your creativity, and with your intuition to be so much more than just a victim for the rest of your life.
That is so beautiful. And what's so most beautiful about it, Dr. Rubio, I think, and the listeners, is that you listened.
Yes, I did listen.
That part
and
of
I
you.
Believed, again, I believed that, like you say in your opening, to be yourself, to be. And so not only was I doing things, but I also was being the very best Ramona that I could be with all the challenges and the negativity that was surrounded me. Somewhere I knew that spark of divinity, that spark of the sacred, and I didn't know those words at the time because I was so young, but I knew that there was something that was pulling me out of these dark places and into the light, so that I could see better what my future held for me.
Right, right. And so you awakened. Would you say
awakened.
You awakened?
Yes, yes, I did awaken. And not, you know, this is not a process that is always active, because we do have the challenges that come in and we do get stuck in places. But I think always, someone said that true greatness is failing 19 times and coming up with the 20th time and being ahead of the game from the 20th time.
Wow. So, persevere again. Persist,
yes.
No matter what.
Yes.
Never ever give up, I say. Get back on track. No matter what, get back on track. This is my motto to myself. Actually, I have written this down on my bathroom wall as a reminder of those days that it's like, what's going on here?
fact, and that's the thing that we find in the alchemical journey, the journey of transformation, and many people study different ways of transforming our consciousness, but the beautiful thing is that we are in this human experience in the process of becoming, and we become awakened to ourselves every day as we work on our everyday soul work. And the important thing is to be gentle with ourselves, regardless if there's, you know, we feel that we're not doing the right thing. But in all of that, the good thing, the bad things, and the beautiful things are all part of who we are in our becoming.
Right. So touching upon, twice you've mentioned the alchemical process. Let's move into it, huh?
I'd love to.
Okay, so you've co-authored a book called The Alchemical Woman, a Handbook for Everyday Soul Work. Before we get into it, Dr. Rubio, for the men that are listening out there, they're going for the alchemical woman. So what does that mean? Should I shut off? Should I switch right now? This doesn't pertain to me, this subject. What do you have to say?
What I'd like to say is that this book is for every woman and every woman's man. So if the men are listening, I'm sure they have a woman in their life. It could be their spouse, a significant other, their sister, their mother, their grandmother. And so it is for anybody who breathes, who walks, talks, and has relationships. So this book is for everyone because it is about relationships and how we negotiate with ourselves and with others.
Mm, beautiful. So what we're putting out there for the men, we invite you to stay tuned. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. Yeah, there's a lot to gain from this conversation that we're having. Beautiful. So for the listeners out there that may not know what alchemy is, would you kindly refresh our memory? I say refresh because it's in our consciousness.
Absolutely. This is one of the most ancient art forms, along with astrology, that was the first inkling of how we did divination, or how we studied the stars, or how we did psychology and chemistry. We didn't call it that because it didn't exist. But the alchemists, who were these ancient sages, practiced this way of, through chemicals, through metals, almost like a laboratory that they did these experiments. And what they were looking at was the idea of changing base metal into gold. That's the most common connection with what the alchemists did. But what is not as well known is that they were also working on their transformation. They were working on their wholeness of nature. And your program is so connected to alchemy, because what you are pronouncing, this oneness, and that we are on the process of being and becoming, that's exactly what the alchemists were doing as well. Their major belief was that as above, so below, mm-hmm. and that as this combined together, the cosmos, the huge, large scope of living to the individual, and as we merged with it, we became one, and they called it the one thing. And that's why I believe that alchemy today, as you also pronounce it without using the word, is so important in today's world.
Mm, beautiful. So your book is a handbook, is a support for helping all of us to overcome personal suffering, commit to spiritual wholeness, awaken. Is that right?
That's correct. And it's very dynamic, and it's very personal. So this is not a self-help book that gives you all the answers as a cookie cutter. This is a dynamic process that is so individual, because each one of us are in different stages of alchemy and in transformation. And fortunately, we do meet others that we can relate to that are experiencing the same stage. But for the most part, our journeys are very individual, very personal. And it's beautiful to understand these stages and to be able to relate to others, because we understand that if I'm in one stage and you're in another, I have been in your stage and you've been in mine. And the more that we understand these, and I can get into more detail as we progress, then it is so obvious what is calling us to our life's work at that particular time, what challenges are coming, And what enlightenment and awakening we're feeling.
Oh, yes, and we want to all awaken. Dr. Rubio, taking this opportunity to introduce you to any listener that may have joined us, welcome. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. We're speaking to Dr. Ramona Rubio, who's the co-author of The Alchemical Woman, a handbook for everyday soul work. She's also a motivational speaker and life coach in the field of alchemical transformation. For more information about Dr. Rubio, please visit www.thealchemicalwoman.com. We've been speaking about faith, belief, patience, intuition, and specifically about her new book that we're moving into at this time. Dr. Rubio, I love the illustrations in your book. Very vibrant, very like, here I am. That's the way I saw it. Here I am. And I appreciate that there's like special places where people can journal. We can journal about our insights. And I love this book. It's very awakening. Would you like to speak further about it?
Well, thank you so much. One of the things that's very important about the study of alchemy is that I've said it's dynamic, but it's multifaceted. And that is that the images, they call them the emblems, were like mantras and mandalas, that they concentrated certain sayings and they looked at the pictures, they looked at the emblems that were very symbolic about what it is that the journey, where the journey was taking them. So that's why we felt it was very important to include these beautiful pictures, that these emblems that really draw us into our alchemical journey. So you picked up on that. And there is, it's there, it feels very subtle, but the words that are said there, the poems that are there, the images that are there, are all a full picture, an awakening of alchemy within us as we participate in reading the book.
Yes. And if I may, in one of the pages where you write, sign R. Rubio, you say, step out with confidence, firmly rooted in the knowledge that who you are and what you want requires no one's permission. Say yes to you, say yes to your voice, say yes to your soul story. I may say that this quote really stood out for me. It's like, yes, every time I read the yes, I felt the power inside me.
Oh, I thank you so much. And I think that I can add something further, that as I do a process called active imagination, and that's part of Carl Jung's process of individuation, where this active imagination is where we dialogue with the unconscious images that are part of our awakening. And they can be a variety of things. I think so many of the Christian believers, in Catholicism, would have the saints. Others have the goddesses. Whatever images or whatever feels good, that there is this connection with these images that are part of our soul journey. And so for me, as I do that, I ask the question, what is my life's purpose? And the dialogue or this insight that came was, to be yourself in everything that you do. And so I share that with your audience, with your listeners, that may be the fundamental life purpose for all of us, to be ourselves in everything we do, in truth, in integrity, and in our motivation for what propels us and compels us to be on this journey of transformation.
Oh, so beautifully said. I am so aligned with what you just said. And the listeners, what did she just say? Be yourself. That's your purpose.
And
right?
Isn't that what we've heard? And it just seems like so silly. So, oh, please, that, you know, what does that mean to be yourself? It's really to capture in your imagination and in your intuition and in your soul how important each one of us are.
Yes. And would you say that one would be encouraged to look at their dark side in the process?
Absolutely, because right. And I can't remember if it was Carl Jung and the great psychologist who said that, that he was more than being just good, that that was not how he achieved what he called individuation or this process of becoming, that it included the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's who we are, and for us to deny that we have that dark side is to deny that we're human. And I think that that's why it's so beautiful with the alchemical journey, is because these all we have the five stages, and the five stages are connected to a specific name and color. And the negretto, which we talk about, the, where the shadow lies, that we don't want to be there too long either, because then we become a victim. I could have been stuck in the barrio mentality that said you can't get out of there because you don't deserve more than what you've gotten. But by that same idea, that there are those that are in the pureness of what we call the albedo, which is whiteness. But what happens in any of these stages, let's say like the albedo, if we stay there too long, we get so pure, so white, so calcined, so dry, so righteous, that we can't move when the wind blows. We become so stiff that when we're challenged to be human, we break up because of our inability to be flexible and see that there's more than just being right.
Right. And in your book, you say that alchemy, as the psychologists call Jung envisioned it, can be used as a transformative tool to help people reach the highest degree of wholeness. Now, who does not want to be whole? I mean, we are whole, but reconnect to our wholeness.
You know what? You just hit upon it. We are complete the moment that we enter into this life. We are already a complete being. But we have forgotten our soul connection to the divine. And that's a process that I think is what's so beautiful about our human condition, is we get to do this and to be able to experience it with all of the potential that we have, and I call them the golden possibilities of becoming whole to ourselves or awakening to our wholeness that is already within. And I think that's the good news.
Right, right, absolutely. Dr. Rubio and the listeners, for example, someone is listening to us right now, has or knows someone that gave birth to a disabled baby. They're listening to us saying we are whole, and they're ready to punch someone, punch the wall, or, you know, saying, what are they talking about? My baby or my friend's baby or whoever is disabled, you know, has this disease, has this disability.
Well, I think if you're going to be looking at just the physical component of a human, then you're missing the whole aspect of being a whole human being.
Right.
And I think that perfection does not mean beauty as we have been told by the media. Perfection is to be absolutely in the fullness of what it is to be in your particular human experience. So I think what happens is that we tend to look at the difficulties of birth. And then I can speak for myself with what happened to me. I see it as a blessing in my life. I could have seen it in many different ways, and people choose to. But for me, being the last of 13 children from a migrant working family that had absolutely no future whatsoever, and left in a hospital, and then fortunately a loving family adopted me, you know, for me that's grace. And I look at that now, but I could have looked at it as a victim that said, you know, why did my mother die? Why was I abandoned? Why this? Why that? But it's not about asking why. Why waste time? It's about asking, what can I do with what I've been given? How can I turn it into that gift instead of the wound, and keep it in the wound and not look at and see what the gift is?
Mm. I invite all of us to pay attention to our perceptions about ourselves and how we perceive others and life itself, right? It is our perceptions. If we see someone I mean, there are physical disabilities, but to what extent are we looking outside of ourselves as imperfections, right? Does that make
Correct.
Sense?
You know, and as an example, because we are talking about deformities and challenges, that diseases that we encounter, and I'm thinking about Stephen Hawking, and he is the premier physicist, and he chairs the Newton Chair in Cambridge, I believe. He is a man that suffers from a huge deformity. He cannot walk, he cannot talk, he cannot write. He's in a wheelchair, and his mind is beyond anything you can imagine, and his soul soars with the cosmos. And what he has given us through his intellect and through his heart song is beyond his, way beyond his physical disabilities that keep him locked into a chair 24/7. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So we can look at what keeps us locked in our box that we can't do anything, or we can look at what affords us the ability to soar with the cosmos, regardless if we're stuck in a wheelchair.
Absolutely. So alchemy, would you say, supports us to create possibilities? It's a portal of possibilities. Open up what we can't see, we haven't been able to see. Possibilities to the inner power, possibilities to our greatest good, possibilities to our greatness.
Absolutely, because what we're doing, and what the ancient alchemists did, is that we're distilling the impurities, the things that keep us stuck in the ego, the things that keep us stuck in judgment, and in false hopes and ideas that distort what our real true self is. So for me, because the only expert that I can be is in my life story, I can say that the challenges that come for me when I am in that darkest of the caves in Negretto, where I feel paralyzed because I'm just asking and I can't get the answer, and what it says to me is be still, be quiet, and listen. And when I do that and not try to ignore or deny that I am in that dark space, the answer comes, and it comes with love, and it's like an epiphany that gives me the insight of what was the matter with me, to move out of the matter and into the light. And so that's why in alchemy we say that when you move out of the Negretto, there is this place of blueness, this lapis, where we are baptized anew to wash that mud from our mind, to be able to ascend from the dark and into the potential of what the light will bring to us. So it's a beautiful metaphor, but it's a beautiful process as well.
Yes. I say, let us all wash the mud, the darkness. Another name I have for it, Dr. Ruby and listeners, is poop.
Well, that's pretty graphic and very right on.
I mean business here. I say, let's wash the poop, flush it out, flush it out. So, Dr. Rubio, actually, let me take this opportunity to reintroduce you, this fascinating, fascinating conversation that we've been having. For anyone who may just have joined us, this is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. Welcome, welcome. Join us. We've been speaking to Dr. Ramona Rubio, who's the co-author of The Alchemical Woman, a handbook for everyday soul work. And we spoke about that this is for women and men, both. So, for both of you, you can purchase this book as couples, as partners, for friends, for anyone. Her website is www.thealchemicalwoman.com. We've been talking about life purposes and wholeness and going within, listening to our intuition, that there is a portal of possibilities, and this book is one way to create health in relationships. Would you say, Dr. Rubio, for someone that's listening and saying, I'm so stressed out, I am so stressed out, I'm having so much problems with my husband, with my children, with my partner, my job isn't working, I am detached from my God self, from my higher self, from my spirit, is this a book that will support them?
It is a book that will support, pardon me?
Yes. In being at peace with where they are and who they are.
it will support them, one, to understand that what they're experiencing is exactly what they need, where they need to be at the moment. So one is we need to recognize that our life experiences, that our challenges as well as the high points, are all part of being human. So we don't need to beat ourselves up. However, if we continue to just be acting out continually without stopping to breathe like you had us do at the beginning of your program, without taking time to reflect, then what we are doing is we're on this treadmill that will never, ever give us the peace of mind to get out of our way, to move into a space that starts to give us the answers that we're looking for, because that's what we're doing. And many of us are running away from the answers that are just begging us to listen to. Mm-hmm. So that's important for us, regardless of what we're experiencing, to stop. Stop, get off the treadmill, take your breath that you suggest, and listen. Listen to what the voice is telling you. And that's why a book that we've written where you write down what it is that you're feeling in that moment, because I think, and I think you'll agree with me, that stress and all of these crazy things happen because our ego is out of control and our divine self is not being given a chance to speak to us.
Yes. Talking about our ego out of control, my ego was out of control. For anyone, and I don't know if you know, Dr. Rubio, that I'm a lupus survivor and a near-death car accident survivor about, I think it's like 2.5 years ago. So, yeah, with my disease, when I was pregnant about 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with lupus, central nervous system, slowly became halfway paralyzed, and through mind, body, soul healing, I healed and found my life purpose and awakened to my intuition, my God self, and the oneness. So, yes, my ego was out of control. That's why I got sick. But through prayer and prayer and prayer, what it is, God, that I need to learn in order to heal. Believe me, God, the divine, whatever name each individual has for this higher power, guided me step by step as I allow myself to be open, receptive, and persevere again. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. Now, in my experience, Dr. Rubio, forgiveness was a big part of my healing, and actually it still is every single day. I sit down and I just see what it is that I can forgive about myself, about situations. And I just want to ask you, if I may, going back to that time where you were physically abused as a young girl, okay, not to put it in your own words, but, you know, you must have had some anger, some resentment there, some hate. Did forgiveness come into the picture?
Eventually it did, because I was relatively young. I was 10 years old, and it happened for about 2 years. So during that time, I didn't know. I was so young, and in those years, I'm a middle-aged woman. So in those years, nothing was really as open as it is now about what abuse is. And what I realized is I thought this was something that just happened to everybody. I didn't know. And later on, when it all came out and as to what had happened, I felt so ashamed. I think I took it on that it was my fault. And then once I got older and I realized that it wasn't, that I was the victim in this, I was not the perpetrator. And as children, we get such a funny sense how we twist things. Mm. And when I started to realize that it was not my fault, I began to forgive myself for the very judgmental way I was treating myself. So that was the first step of the healing process. And then once I realized I didn't have to forgive myself because I was not to blame, so there was no forgiveness necessary, that was the next one. And then when I thought about the perpetrator, I eventually forgave him because I felt that whatever happened there was a distortion of you know, his demons that he couldn't control. And I can't say that it happened overnight. It took years of understanding, and as best I could, that these things do happen and that I had to step outside of the victim apart and through forgiveness and trying to understand how these things happen, that the dynamics of what occurs and the denials and the cover-ups, that one just has to step outside of it or else our whole life to live a divine life is lost.
You're such an inspiration to all of us. Honest to goodness, I really mean it.
Oh, thank you.
And I really appreciate your openness because there's people out there that are listening that have been abused and maybe they're still struggling. They're living with pain and suffering, you know. They've lost their self-worth and self-respect and self-value and confidence. And listening to you and possibly reading your book will awaken them to their true self and who they are and the possibilities and their power within and their goodness, you know, that they are good, they are worth it. You know, I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And I think the key here is the choice we have. And if we're able to get help, if the wound is so deep, we need psychological help, then I implore the listeners to go out and get the help to begin to write a story that is much, much healthier and much more full of life and potential for them than the old story that keeps dragging them into the pit of their abuse. That's the choice I made. It was a conscious choice. I can't say that it was all giggles and ice cream and fun and all, because it wasn't.
Sure.
There was a lot of sour stuff that went along with it.
Yes.
But I persevered in saying, I have so much more in my life than just being stuck there. And that's what I recommend to your audience, is to take the first step and say, I'm so much more than this wounding and this pain. I have so much more life that I can choose to live and not be stuck there.
And I say, beautiful listeners, children of the divine, children of the light, children of beauty, really beauty, children of the beautiful clear waters inside and out, you are worth it, and I invite you to accept and caress and hug all parts of you. This is really what's coming through me at this time, because you are worth it. Dr. Rubio, I understand that at one point you were helping students, especially minority students, gain confidence and self-worth in their personal and academic lives.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, I had the opportunity after I got my doctorate that I taught at the Art Institute but it's in Santa Monica. And this is a wonderful place where students that cannot or financially afford to go to the higher, UCLA, Stanford, places like that, but are very creative, go to this wonderful art institute. It's just a beautiful place for the imagination to soar. And many of the students that go there are minority students. And I had a course I taught. It was cultural anthropology. And the course was on the marking your body through tattoos as cultural coding. And so the students got to talk about why they marked their bodies and how they were able to compare other cultures, why they marked their bodies. So the tattoos became a portal into diverse culture and the studies of that. But along the way, the students got to tell their own stories about their own body markings. And you'd be surprised the amazing stories that came out. And a lot of them had to do with abuse and had to do with forgiveness. And so here I am teaching a cultural anthropology class, and soul is in the room. Spirit of the divine is permeating through all the students because they get to share their life story.
And how beautiful, how powerful it is to voice our internal state, what is going on within us, right? I'm finding more and more the power of speaking, the power of really speaking what's inside, what's going on inside, becoming more and more aware of what's going on inside. Is that something that you did also?
Exactly. And I think if I can put it into the term of alchemy, or into the world of alchemy, that stage when we do that is what they call that rubido. That's the redness of life. That's the life blood. And in that stage is where we really learn to go inside and see what's truthfully who we are and pronounce our words that not only say who we are inside, but say who we are outside, so that our inner thoughts match our outer deeds. And that is what the alchemists would call conjunctio, and that word means when we gather to become one, that we are totally whole in that moment in our lives, that beautiful moment of rubido.
That is so beautiful. And as just a refresher, Dr. Rubio, when you're talking about stages, these five stages are all, you know, incomplete, described in your book, right?
Yes.
You're talking about stages, and people out there may be going, what is she talking about, stages, stages? There's five stages.
That's correct. And we've listed them in order of how, they don't occur in any order because life is too dynamic to say, well, you know, this is neatly how I'm going to go from one stage to the next. That's not the way life gives us our experiences. But we did it that way for the sake of writing the book. But just really quickly, the dark stage we talked about, that's the negretto, that's blackness, and usually associated with death and loss and paralysis and fear. The next is lapis, which is the blue state, and that's what we talked about, transition. That's when we're in, when we're baptized, when there's a new dawn, a new awakening, the beginnings of our awakening. And then the next one is the albedo, where the whiteness of life, where the light shines on us and we see clearly the possibilities that we have in our life. And then, not to stay stuck there, because you know we get into being too stiff, then there's citrinitis. And just the name, citrinitis, citrine, yellow, yellowness, juiciness.
Mm.
This is where they're, talk about poop. That's where babies soil their diapers. This is where bodily functions. This is the juiciness, sex and copulation and relationships, dancing and singing. That's citrinitis. That's the juiciness of life.
Mm.
And then the other stage that I talked about is the rubido, the redness, and that is the life source. That's when we marry ourselves to ourselves, when we become fully whole. Our life's purposes are just, that's what happened to you after you healed from the infirmament that you had and listened and found your purpose. But we can't stay there long either, because then we lose connection with our humanity. We are not fully present in these other stages. So the beautiful news is that we have all these stages in our lives all the time. There's usually one stage that is predominant, and the reason it is because of our life experience in that particular time.
Beautiful, beautiful. The five stages of the alchemical process. So the benefits, healthy relationships, as you say, improved self-image, increased vitality, dream job, dream business, prosperity consciousness, fun and meaningful adventures. I'm into that.
Absolutely.
I would like to have more fun.
Well, and you know, we forget about having fun, and that's why we need to take our clues from children. Because
mm-hmm.
children, regardless if they fall down and they scrape their knees and they're crying and, oh, life is horrible, and then they see a balloon or they see something and, oh, my gosh, look, there's the balloon, and they're in the moment. And I think for all of us, in order for it to be fully present in our being, we have to live in that moment. And it's so hard because our ego says, live in the past and remember, you know, what happened to you, then you were a victim or all of that. Live in the future because you're looking at, oh, my gosh, this is all the possibilities. And the poor present is totally neglected, and we forget to breathe in that moment.
I love the present moment. And I love to dance in the present moment. As we're talking about fun, I love to dance. That's something that I like to do. As a child, I just loved to dance. And having fun dancing. And you have a quote in your book that says, "Dance like your life depended on it." I love it. I love it. And the illustration below it, I'm really making the listeners curious. What is she talking about with all these illustrations? Dance, dance, dance.
Dance, dance, sing, live life to the fullest. And that's what brave-hearted people are being asked to do. Not to sit down and let life happen, but to stand up and live life through dancing, through singing, through talking, through relationships that really matter.
Dancing, moving to the flow of life. Flexible. You see, when I see that, I see flexibility, opportunities, possibilities as dancing. For anyone that's not dancing right now, get up and dance after the show. Get up and dance. Move your cheeks.
If you're feeling depressed or if you're feeling that there's hope isn't in your agenda, turn on some music and let that energy just fill the room and allow it to fill your body. Something very magical happens when we choose the right kind of music and we breathe into the sound. And the alchemists practiced sound, and music was very much a part of the ritual.
Yes. So as we're dancing, attuning to the vibration within us and just allowing it to flow through us, huh? Like, whatever it is.
That's right. There really isn't an inner and an outer when we start to really look at the physics of life.
Mm-hmm.
That there is, we're permeable, we are open, there is no solid matter, it's all in our mind. And so when we have music that's sounding, it goes right through us, because sound is electromagnetic, it all just goes right through us, because we are not solid. And I think that's what happens to us, is we get so stuck in our matter, and what the alchemists called the prima materia, which is this base matter. We become so thick with ideas that don't work that we forget to lift our eyes and to move and to listen to the spirit that really permeates our whole bodies, because we're porous and we have that possibility of moving outside of our stuck place.
Possibilities, infinite possibilities. As we choose to turn our lives into pure gold, illuminating gold. Dr. Rubio, with gratitude, our time is almost up. Before we close, do you have any messages that you would like to give to our beautiful, beloved listeners out there?
What I'd like to say, and it's a little poem that I wrote, and it's, "Go forward unafraid, eager to know deeply the golden woman or man within that beckons to be heard and understood."
Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Ooh, my heart opened up. Dr. Rubio, thank you. Before we close, is there a contact number or an email that people can contact you for further information?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to our website, or they can contact me at ramona@ramonarubio.com.
Beautiful. And before we close again, I keep saying before we close, do you have any speaking engagements coming up?
Yes, it's in Ashland, Oregon, and we're doing a series of seven, the Magnificent You gatherings. And for any of your listeners that might be in the Ashland, Oregon area, we welcome them. They can contact us at our email address, and we'll give them the information.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much, Dr. Rubio. We bless you in your journey in this lifetime and all of your contributions to all of us. I appreciate your openness.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on your program. You are definitely blessed. Your voice is very beautiful, and your intentions are magnificent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging yourself in me.
Yes, yes, we are all in this together.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Dr. Rubio. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week, you beautiful, beautiful, delightful, delightful beings of light. We have experienced the oneness as we attuned to our true self, learning how faith and trust and belief in ourselves and the divine, with persistence, perseverance, never ever give up. Always get on track, get back on track. The track is there waiting for you. The track is there as you awaken every day, dancing to life and saying yes to life, yes to who you are, yes to your self-worth, yes to every cell in your being, yes to every part of you, as you are a magnificent presence of the divine as you. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body, in your being, and breathe it out and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. And don't forget to visit our website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download my free guided meditations and insights. Again, as a reminder, I invite all of your comments, suggestions, and questions to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or spiritualityinsideandout.com. And please join us next week as we will be speaking to our fascinating, inspiring guest. This is best-selling self-realization author Guy Finley, who is the author of over 35 books and audio programs that have sold over 1 million copies in 18 languages worldwide. Please join us next week as we shall learn more about his new book, The Essential Laws of Fearless Living. And his website is www.guyfinley.org. You've been listening to Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati. Thank you for your presence. Blessings to you, blessings to you, blessings to you. I love you. Until next week. Good day.